Our monthly theme is belonging. All of us, we find ourselves here in this place. We have chosen to be together. We have chosen to belong here. What does that mean to say we belong here in this religious community? For humans, belonging is the opposite of loneliness. As humans, we need to belong to ourselves, to one another, to our friends and families, to our faith, to our culture and country, and to our world. Belonging is primal and fundamental to our sense of well-being as humans. Our interests, motivations, health, and happiness are closely tied to the feeling that we belong to a greater community that shares common care and common aspirations, shared love and shared hopes. Now, many of us belong to a few different communities of shared care and aspiration, hope and love. Given that, what does it mean to belong here at the Second Unitarian Church of Omaha? How is that different from other communities we might be part of? And perhaps more important, what is it that keeps us belonging to this religious community? This very question was taken on in a big way a few years ago by the Unitarian Universalist Association in a report titled Belonging, the Meaning of Membership. As part of their deep study of membership, the report writers, among many other activities, they held focus groups and interviews with members of local Unitarian Universalist congregations. One story of belonging that they heard and shared is from a UU named Mark, a relatively new member of his congregation. Mark talked about moving into the area from the other side of the country and feeling the need for community. It started in his neighborhood, a small cul-de-sac of new houses. He described the feeling of closeness, the willingness to pitch in. But, Mark said, there has been little or no spirituality or discussion of spiritual need. The conversation rarely centers on how we feel about our place in the larger community or our relationship to a higher power. Mark and his wife were looking for a place to engage in meaning making. After joining a local UU congregation, they found much more. They have joined the choir, taken part in social action projects, assisted at the auction, and facilitated one of the caring circles. Mark said, as we go forward, we may find it difficult to schedule any additional projects, at least until after the new year. He continued, and this is a problem everyone should have. Not enough time to spend with loving, caring people who respect each other, thrive on diversity, and wish the best for the ones with whom they share. The report also looked at understanding why people join and stay with UU congregations. The report says, the possibility for growth and change, for transformation, is the real basis for participation in a religious community. We have all experienced losses and disappointments, pain and grief. We have been broken by life and need healing. The experience of membership offers to individuals the opportunity to become more whole, more committed to each other, and to that which is of ultimate worth, more grounded, more profoundly human, and more aware of the true gift of community. The experience of membership both affirms inherent personal worth and confers a new and expanded sense of worth as a member of a local congregation and as a Unitarian Universalist. Becoming a member of the body of Unitarian Universalism is an opportunity to find honor, affirmation, freedom, commitment, and salvation. Understand salvation not as an entry pass into another world at death, but as the recognition that right here, right now, we have an opportunity to be more than we currently are, to become complete, to find wholeness and shalom. What the commission is speaking of here is membership and community that goes beyond what we think of as the legal and formal structure of the church. Now, the legal and formal aspects of membership are important. They help make us church. But the real church, the reason why we're here, is about the opportunity to make meaning together in covenant as a body of worshipers. The religious and spiritual reasons we're here are about honor, affirmation, freedom, growth, love, and care for one another. Sometimes we can lose sight of that, but we must not forget. Here is the only picture of G. Peter Fleck I could find with his sister in 1919. He talks about this in his book, The Blessings of Imperfection. Fleck, who died in 1995, was an international banker and venture capitalist who was a major lay presence in Unitarian Universalism. He was a lay preacher, member of local and national UU governance boards, and the author of three books of inspirational essays. In his book, The Blessings of Imperfection, he writes, "Well, let's be frank and admit that the church has its aggravations. The eternal and oh-so-necessary concern about finances, the annually recurring problems of balancing a budget, of finding money for repainting the vestibule, repairing the boiler, and tuning the organ. The ongoing criticism of the minister's sermons, which are too liberal for some and too orthodox for others. Too pedantic for some and too colloquial for others. The endless committee meetings about Sunday school curriculum and about the propriety of social action and the persistent shortage of tenors in the choir. Who wants it? Who needs it? The answer to these questions is that we want it because we need it. The answer is that the church, and I am now speaking of the liberal church, in spite of its shortcomings, the imperfection that characterizes everything made by humans, the liberal church is better, infinitely better than no church. Maybe I should not have said, in spite of its shortcomings, but because of its shortcomings." Fleck continues, "For isn't it true that in our churches, in these communities of spirit, we have more resources than outside of our churches? To accept each other's imperfections, to reconcile our differences, to forgive and be forgiven, to comfort and be comforted, to love and be loved. Isn't that what church is all about? Because it is what life is all about." Fleck wrote as the highly committed Unitarian Universalist that he was. How did he learn such loyalty? By making a commitment to what his local congregation and the larger body of Unitarian Universalism could be. A commitment that was sufficient to transcend all the pettiness and dysfunction and heartbreak that comes when we fail to live up to our highest ideals in community. As the UUA found, working through the disillusionment with the failure of our liberal religious communities to live up to their ideals, working through that disillusionment is actually necessary for the deepest loyalty and commitment. I have seen over and over again folks come to our congregations with starry eyes about the freedom and affirmation and acceptance we offer around religious belief. And that is real and great. They think, especially if they have experienced deep wounds of faith, that they have found the promised land. And they are right. And over and over and over, I have watched folks have very painful reactions when they find out that in spite of our wonderful approach to faith and spirit, We are no different than any other community, religious or otherwise, in our imperfections. Some folks leave then or later because of this disillusionment. Working through that disillusionment, living through it, and moving beyond it is the hallmark of committed and loyal members of our congregations. Rather than walking away or stepping back or acting out, they remain steadfast. These folks are not better or worse than others. They're just different. Their loyalty is less to the actual church institution itself than to the values and ideals the church seeks to serve and live through our principles and covenants. Their loyalty recognizes that institutional as well as personal failure is going to happen. As the report on belonging notes, this is loyalty of a high order. It requires extraordinary patience, tolerance, and the capacity to forgive. These are spiritual gifts learned real time in real community. Those who have gained these capacities, these gifts, are in the deepest sense members. People who are committed for the long haul. Those who have a loyalty not just to what the church is, but what it could be, to what it can become through their persistence and with their faithful ministry and service. They are committed not so much to the institution, but to the values and ideals it exists to promote and uphold. This congregation is not a private social club. It is not a place to hide away from what's out there that we don't like. This is not a place to be protected from we don't want to see or hear or experience. We are not a safe haven of zero challenge. We are not here to extend our families or our living rooms to just be buds. We are here to be loyal to the living and the fulfillment of our seven principles in a covenanted relationship. We are the people of the principles and covenants as our Christian and Jewish and Muslim siblings are people of the book. As our great Unitarian Universalist theologian James Luther Adams said, a living tradition is not bequeathed through some law of inheritance. It must be earned, not without dust and heat, and not without humbling grace. Not without dust and heat, not without imperfection, not without conflict and kerfuffles, not without having sometimes to hear and see and experience what is hurtful or that we'd rather not. And with good boundaries and with the commitment to holding people accountable for their behavior, with expecting ourselves and each other to live up to our highest Unitarian Universalist values. Without these understandings and expectations of ourselves and each other, we will not live through those disillusionments and disappointments and conflicts and come out on the other side healthy and life-affirming and loving as individuals and as a religious community. It is not possible to have a true sense of belonging if you don't know what you belong to. We say we belong to this church. What else could that mean? I know that all of you who have served in leadership have had the experience of hearing someone else suggest in an email or conversation that the church should do something, should do this or do that. Folks, there is no the church. There is no the church. All we have is ourselves. All we have is each other right now. And all we have are the people who have gone before us here and the people who will follow us. There is no the church. There is only Ed and Daryl and Cindy and Judy and Tom and Deborah and Wesley. So in some situation or another, when someone suggests or asks or demands that the church do a particular something, maybe your response can be, And what are you willing to do to make that happen? And who can help you with that? In our story this morning, the actual presence of a person named someone else drove home in its absurdity and ridiculousness the idea that no religious community can survive without taking responsibility for itself at the individual level and the collective. Because there's only us. As my colleague George Beach says, people do not join a covenanted community. Rather, they constitute it. There is no it without them, and each time new folks join, the whole is literally remade. The beautiful people who have joined us recently aren't here to become just like us and leave us unchanged and unchallenged. Rather, by virtue of their presence, we are and we will and we must be a new and different we, because Karen and May and Cindy and Eric and Nancy and Dorothy and another Karen and Alana are here with us now. So we belong to this beloved community. This beloved community is a community of loving support and challenge that grows us together what is best and highest for ourselves, this congregation, the world, and all its creatures. A community that transforms us with love and care and freedom and wholeness. It is not a community without dust or heat. It is a community that demands our loyalty by living up to our highest ideals as the people of our covenants. So our challenge as members of this beloved community is to belong to it with all our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. We are in this together, and that's the only way it can be. We can only belong to this church by having that loyalty to its values, with love and care and concern for one another, by seeking our own and our shared meaning and transformation. May you know to the bottom of your heart and soul that you belong here. And above all, that we belong to one another. Blessed be. Amen.